I'm so excited because today we are talking about this month. In fact, we are talking about celebrating the heritage of Asian Americans and Pacific Islanders. Now, this isn't all about fun and joy. However, as hatred towards and hate crimes against people of Asian descent has grown in recent years. Now, in the wake of one particularly head-shaking incident that happened to St. Louis TV news anchor Michelle Lee, the Very Asian Foundation was born. A co-founder of the group is former CARE 11 morning anchor Gia Vang. Ms. Vang joins us on the John Schuster Caldwell Banker Hotline to explain the group and their efforts to educate others about people originating from this part of the world. And what's quite remarkable to me is that even though we know that this is happening, so many are fighting, trying to make sure that we come together to work together to make sure that this stops, that it will cease. And there's still so much going on behind the scenes, behind people that we don't know, and we don't find a way. Someone said to me, how do you find a way to do something to help the Asian Americans and Pacific Islanders? How do you do that? I don't know, but I know I can find it if I look for it. So we are so excited to have her join us tonight. She is the co-founder of the group, and we are so excited to have Gia Vang join us. Hello, Gia. How are you?
Hi. I'm doing well. Thanks so much for having me.
I tell you, it is an important time right now. How does it feel to know that we are celebrating the heritage of Asian Americans and Pacific Islanders today? Because it hasn't always been like this, but today we know that we can go forward helping each other. Do you believe that?
I do. I'm really heartened by the work that has happened in the last couple of years. I think that this month has really just highlighted what we as Asian American folks, NHPI folks, have known for our entire lives. So when people say, oh, how are you celebrating this month? I always tell them, you know, I celebrate all the time because I can't be in any other body besides this.
Right.
So I celebrate all the time. But just this month, knowing that people are recognizing, knowing that we're finally part of the conversations. You know, I was on a panel recently and there were other people who said, oh, we got to talk about Asian Americans. And I've never, in the 15 years of doing the work that I do, had heard other people that it wasn't specific to Asian Americans talk about how important it was to talk about our communities. So I'm really heartened by this work.
Well, what's amazing is that during your time here in Minneapolis, you covered several national stories, including the Derek Chauvin trial, the Kim Porter trial, and Suni Lee's historic Olympic Games. Great. But at the same time, we all know that no matter where you land when it comes to our friends in the news, we know that something could happen. We know that we could be just a few steps away from something horrible happening. How do you deal with that every morning and when you go to sleep at night?
Yeah, I mean, that's really a reality that we live in, right? I mean, we have many friends who have to have conversations with their children about what it is like to interact with police officers. And so we do know that it's a really difficult thing because you can't really separate yourself from those kinds of interactions.
Right.
But what we can do is we can work toward normalizing ourselves in spaces that people may not be familiar. And that's why, you know, part of the work that Very Asian does is highlighting things like the May Book Project, which is an effort to get books with people who are AANHPI into schools so children can see and they can understand that, oh, if there's a protagonist, a character that looks like me or that looks like someone else, that it's normal. Because for me growing up, and I don't know about you, but I didn't see myself in books growing up. You know, I was reading things like Mark Twain. And so for me to now be able to put these books in the hands of these children, and we've done like 20,000 books across America in the year that we've done the May Book Project. And so it's been really just, you know, that's the kind of work that we need to do. And, you know, Michelle, my co-founder, and I always talk about the thing that we have to make sure people understand is that the Asian American experience isn't just bicoastal. It's not just what's happening in San Francisco and Seattle or in New York. It's all the large swath in the middle of America, as you know, living in Minnesota, there are Asian people there, and they have a different story to tell. And so making sure that we get into those schools, too, and those sort of programs in those markets, because when they see someone, they don't then use the stereotypes that they have of Asian Americans and say, okay, I know this about Asian Americans. Instead, they can read books and say, oh, I know actually Asian Americans are this way because I read a book about it. And so those are some of the things that I think helps me keep going.
It helps all of us keep going. I really believe that. At the same time, however, the books are really important. We know that books matter to children and adults, right? However, we are having challenges with so many people in our government who are trying to tear down those same things you worked so hard for to make sure that the books are not in the hands of those children. And I'm wondering how you deal with that. How do you make sure that the books keep going, that you are supporting those children, but when you've got so many others trying to take books away?
And we do know that that's happening. That is definitely an effort that's going on right now. I think that what Michelle and I try to do is be very careful about what we how we approach this. All that we're doing is putting books in the hands of children who can see themselves reflected in these books. And we talk about, you know, books being mirrors and windows. So if they can see themselves reflected, then they can see beyond, right? And also, it's not just about Asian American students. It's about students who aren't Asian American either. It's about students who don't look like that and say, oh, but this is normal to have this around. And so, you know, I think we honestly just keep fighting the good fight, because we're a small organization that's not going to take on this huge, huge effort to fight book bans. But we're doing what we can. And I think that's, at the end of the day, really what matters is the tangible change that we can see in classrooms and schools that we go to, and seeing and hearing the discussions that are being had among these students.
Are you and Michelle also sensing that there are others who don't look like you, but they are fighting for you? Do you feel that?
I definitely do. I mean, there are so many other communities out there, right? You know, about like the Black community or the Latinx community. There are other communities who understand that working across racial the race barriers are important. So collaborating with other groups are going to be what liberates us. So I definitely see that there's efforts on all sides, especially when it comes to marginalized communities. And even when we talk about those communities, we're talking about LGBTQ communities as well.
As we keep watching and learning about so many that are hurting today, right, whether it's over books or people that are spitting on them and don't want them around, here we are trying to do better. We're trying to bring all of us together. I feel the same way. At the same time, if the children are receiving the books, are the teachers also promoting the right books, or are they saying, well, I'll give you this book, but I won't give you that book? Because in some of the Black schools and some of the schools where Black children go, that has been a challenge.
Yeah, I definitely understand that. And, you know, what we do is we actually, because this list that we have as a part of the May Book Project is a vetted list, and we're talking about people who put it together, our scholars, their educators, their librarians, and also students. I mean, this started all because of students. And so we feel very fortunate that we have such a robust list. And also what comes with that, because of the people who were involved in creating this, they've also created rubrics for teachers, too. If teachers don't know how to teach this or how to go about talking about some of the themes that are going on in these books, we have created rubrics for teachers to allow them to do that. But it is a challenge. I mean, it's a challenge right now to when you talk about personal preference and what you want to teach. But at least in the districts that we can still reach, we're happy to do it, and we're happy to provide support.
It feels as though every one of us that is different, you know, whether we look different, sound different, talk different, it's maddening how some just do not want to understand who we are. So I keep saying to myself, what is it that I need to do to make sure that I fill up? Because I'm going to pour myself out every day, and I'm asking you the same question. What do you do, or where do you go to fill up once you have poured out for the day?
I mean, that's a really hard question when we talk about self-care. I have a really hard time with it because I think I'm always exhausted. I do feel like there is a sense of urgency in the work that we do. As a person of color, as a person who lives in this body, I need to make sure that my 15 nieces and nephews and my great niece do not grow up in a world where they feel ashamed, where they have to hide bits of themselves or try to hide, even though they can't because they physically look like that. And I just want them to grow up in a world where they don't have to do that because I did. And so it is exhausting work, but I think I do cherish the moments that are really, really powerful and beautiful. For example, when we went to Minnesota and we had our book drops in St. Paul back in March, there were groups of students there who put the books up to their face and said, oh my gosh, you look like her. And I'm not just talking about, and her friends were all, you know, of different backgrounds and ethnicities. And I just, that to me, I hold those and cherish those moments because I need to in order to keep seeing the marathon that we're running here.
Wow, that's powerful. That is very powerful. As you keep moving forward, what is the next step for the foundation?
Well, we have so many wonderful collaborations and events coming up. We just want to continue doing what we're doing, which is to shine a light on Asian experiences. And that's through advocacy and celebration, right? And so when we celebrate ourselves, we have to be joyful in ourselves, we have to be joyful in who we are, and know that joy doesn't come from the things that society tells us joy comes from, that it comes from things like making your food that, you know, your mom made when you were younger. That's joyful. And then also through advocacy, so things like the Maybook Project. And then, you know, we have another project also, which is the Creators Project, which, you know, Asian American creators were they kind of popped up during the pandemic, and a lot of people pivoted their careers because they prioritized their lives. And so we want to make sure that in all the spaces that we inhabit, that we're coming to the table as our full selves. And I think that's, you know, the work that still continues. And then I'm super excited also, I just want to plug Bauhaus Breweries in Minnesota and Arbiter Brewing, because we have a collab coming up with them. So, not, you know, just because I'm not living in Minnesota anymore doesn't mean that we don't still do work with the really wonderful companies there. And so both those breweries, we're working together on a rice lager, and it's going to have a release party on June 9th. And so that's also another way of kind of making sure that people see us in these spaces that traditionally aren't thought of as like Asian American spaces. Arbiter Brewing in South Minneapolis is one of very, very little Asian owned breweries. Only 2% of breweries in this country are Asian owned, and Arbiter Brewing is one of them. And for them to work with us and work with Bauhaus on this rice lager, we're just super excited about things like that, because then you can go into the spaces and be like, wait, I never thought about Asian people in brewing, but now you do. Yeah.
All it takes is one. That's the amazing thing. You know, it takes just one person to step forward for others to say, oh, I can do that too. So that's amazing to me. My goodness, it's been wonderful to talk with you. And my last question for you is all about making sure that the Asian American community is comfortable wherever they are here in the great state of Minnesota. Can you say that that's where it's leading? You feel as though Minnesota is still welcoming you, welcoming so many Asian Americans, or do you feel like there's something else we need to do to make it better?
Well, I want to say that I love the Asian American community in Minnesota. We are such a small but mighty group, and we get things done, and I just really, really miss their spirit. I do think that there's still so much work ahead, though. I mean, we're never to the point where it's okay where we are currently. I mean, I know that when I left my TV station there, people were reaching out to me and they said, you know, we're just not doing the same kinds of stories that you were doing when you were here. And so I think that there's an opening and an appetite and a desire, because the demographics of Minnesota are changing, and things like media need to also represent that, and the stories need to represent that. And so there's still a long ways to go, and that comes down to, you know, management and station vision and what they're doing in terms of hiring. You know, Michelle and I have this kind of joke, but we believe it's true as journalists. She says, you know, if Joe Schmo in Springfield, Illinois, sees an Asian person on TV, he's less likely to make those stereotypes about Asian people because, oh, look, it's just, yeah, Michelle and Gia, and she's my morning anchor, or she's, you know, it's less likely to happen that they will take those stereotypes that they believe. And so, you know, as someone in TV news, I've gotten that so many times, too, as an Asian person, where someone said, I've never seen an Asian anchor before. And then 6 months down the line, they email me back and say, oh, you're just like the other anchors. You know, it's almost like, right. Well, yeah, duh. Right?
And well, so, I must and say, so, go ahead.
Yeah. I think just continuing to make sure that people are represented in all aspects of the, you know, hierarchy of work.
Well, Gia Vang, thank you so much for joining us, co-founder of Very Asian Foundation. We appreciate it, and I hope I can speak with you again. Take care.
Thank you so much.